For argument, Ziegler v. Astru. Ms. Freeman.
May it please the Court. I'm Heather Freeman on behalf of Appellant Ronald Ziegler. The ALJ's decision should be reversed. First, the ALJ credited the Functional Capacity Report, or FCE, but failed to consider the critical limitations therein. Second, the ALJ's mental RFC finding is unexplained. And third, the ALJ erroneously found Ziegler not credible. The ALJ's Step 4 finding was not valid. Therefore, the issue is whether the commissioner has met his burden at Step 5. First, the ALJ credited the FCE report, but failed to consider critical limitations in that report. Here, as in Steele v. Barnhart and Young v. Barnhart, the ALJ erred in failing to include all the limitations in the residual functional capacity, or RFC, finding that were supported by the credited medical evidence. The ALJ found the FCE the most significant and persuasive evidence and credited it as the basis of the RFC finding. However, the ALJ erred in incorporating only the summary of the findings and not all the relevant findings. The cover letter on the FCE report stated that Ziegler could perform light to medium work, but it cited a leg lift capacity of 25 pounds and included no further information regarding physical capacity. Instead, the cover letter stated that detailed results are on the enclosed FCE form. That's page 268. Despite the reference to the detailed results, the ALJ based his RFC finding on only the summary statement. The detailed results showed light to medium lifting capacity, but less than sedentary ability in standing, walking, and sitting, with additional limitations. The report starts at 270. Although Ziegler could perform lifting at the light level, the other test results show an inability to sustain full-time work as required by 96.8P. More importantly, the ALJ did not discuss these additional limitations. Furthermore, the VE testified that the manipulative limitations identified in the FCE report would prevent Ziegler from performing any of the jobs named at Step 5. That's the transcript at page 429 through 30. Again, the ALJ did not discuss that statement. The ALJ also erroneously rejected...
Does your argument depend critically on Dr. Bush's opinion?
No, Your Honor, it does not. Dr. Bush was additional evidence, and his opinion was based on the FCE report. But even disregarding Dr. Bush's opinion, the ALJ specifically adopted the FCE report and based the RFC finding on that report, but then failed to consider all the limitations therein. So based on the ALJ's adoption of the FCE report alone, but failure to include...
The other doctors who examined him didn't find that he was disabled, did they?
The judge had mentioned that orthopedic specialist had examined Ziegler but noted that he was already out of work when he examined him. So he said that he would need to go to Dr. Bush to get the FCE examination scheduled. So it's not that they didn't find him not disabled. They just declined to opine on the fact and said, well, let's get an FCE. So they did get an FCE, and the judge credited the FCE, but didn't incorporate the limitations he credited. So really just looking at the ALJ's credit of the FCE report, even all the other doctors, to even without considering the other physician opinions, it's an issue not so much of which doctor gets more weight, but an issue of what the ALJ credited and why he didn't incorporate the limitations he ostensibly credited in the RFC finding. So here we have Dr. Bush as a supporting opinion and then just an absence of other opinions. It's not really a critical issue of a battle of the physicians here. The commissioner has argued that the ALJ's decision is supported by the non-treating state agency physicians, and that's also...
There is no treating physician here, is there?
Not technically... There are examining physicians. Dr. Bush did see Ziegler. It's unclear the extent of whether he examined him or not. Whether the extent of his examination, whether it was actually a physical examination or just a referral to the FCE. There is a treating psychiatrist. However, at the time the mental RFC was rendered, That was at the first appointment, so Your Honor may not might not consider him a treating physician, although he later became a treating physician and validated his FCE comments that problems still, I'm sorry, his RFC comments that problems still continued. So this isn't really a treating a physician issue here. He's had, as I mentioned, the orthopedic treating physician, but that's the one that sent him for the FCE, who believe the FCE would be the best indicator of ability. There are the non-examining physicians, which the commissioner argues support the ALJ's findings. However, the commissioner... the commissioner's argument is problematic because they've argued that Dr. Bush is unclear to the extent of his examination, but at least Dr. Bush did see Ziegler. The non-examining physicians neither saw Ziegler nor saw the FCE report. So their opinions are not only not based on an examining relationship, but also based on an incomplete file. They never saw the FCE, so that is not substantial evidence in support of the ALJ's decision. The critical issue here is what the ALJ adopted and why he didn't incorporate that into the RFC finding. The ALJ's mental RFC finding is also unexplained. The ALJ rejected the examining psychiatrist Dr. Bohan's opinion as inconsistent with a prior psychiatrist's notes and the state agency findings. But in contrast to Dr. Bohan's detailed assessment and findings, the prior psychiatrist noted only that Paxil was being prescribed. Dr. Bohan's opinion, therefore, is not inconsistent. It's just more detailed. And although Ziegler was improving with increased medication, he was not stable. And Dr. Bohan noted continued anger, severe anger, and continuing panic problems. Dr. Bohan's opinion is also not undermined by the opinions of the non-examining state agency psychologists. It was issued after the state agency reviews, and those opinions were incomplete. The ALJ also erroneously found Ziegler not credible.
You're into your rebuttal, you know.
I'm sorry?
You're into your rebuttal. Just thought I'd tell you.
Thank you, Your Honor. The rest of our argument is essentially that the ALJ's credibility determination is flawed because of his failure to properly consider the FCE and the medical evidence of record. And these bear on step 5, as a step 4 decision was flawed as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Freeman. Mr. Kristof?
May it please the Court, Edward Kristof on behalf of Commissioner Astru. This Court has repeatedly said that it wants administrative law judges to build a bridge between the evidence and their conclusions. And the ALJ built a bridge in this case. He explained why he weighed the evidence as he did, and his conclusions are within the broad range of discretion that are owed in ALJ's determinations. The appellant obviously doesn't like where that bridge led, and so he attempts to pick it apart, to look at each and every bolt or anything that doesn't seem quite right aligned. But the fact is, there is that bridge.
Don't you think that's appropriate for him to look at the bridge?
Look at the bridge, Your Honor, but this Court has said that it will not nitpick, that it will apply a commonsensical approach.
Doesn't mean he can't nitpick. She can't nitpick.
And what I'm saying is that this Court should not follow that lead. This Court should take a commonsensical approach. And
the government never nitpicks.
I'm sorry?
The government never nitpicks, huh?
That's right, Your Honor.
Well, by golly, there's a new program.
Looking at this case from a commonsensical approach, the ALJ's weighing of the evidence was reasonable, and it was legally sound, and it shouldn't be disturbed. Now, much of the argument in this case is focused on the functional capacity evaluation performed by Mr. Pankratz, the physical therapist, who concluded that the appellant was able to do a range of light to medium work. And the ALJ gave that assessment significant weight. The appellant argues that the ALJ should have looked deeper, should have mined into the data in the functional capacities evaluation and come to his own conclusion as to what degree of work he could perform. It's sort of the flip side of the argument this Court usually sees, where the claimants are arguing that the ALJ should not play doctor, or in this case, physical therapist. But in this case, it was reasonable for the ALJ to rely on the conclusions of the expert that performed the test, who found that he could do a range of light to medium work consistent with the ALJ's RFC finding. Now, with regard to the particular data, The physical therapist was put in a position where on one of the forms he basically had to make a choice from among certain defined words, essentially a multiple choice. And when he made those multiple choice selections regarding the ability to sit and stand and walk, he chose words like occasional and infrequent. But when given the opportunity to explain his answers, to provide a narrative explanation, he said that Mr. Ziegler needed the opportunity to change positions. And that was accommodated in the ALJ's RFC finding. The ALJ found that Mr. Ziegler needed to be able to change positions at least every 30 minutes. And so the ALJ's conclusions are consistent with the functional capacities evaluation. With regard to the manipulative problems, the functional capacities evaluation specifically noted that he had excellent fine motor skills and that he had above average grip strength. And so the references to problems with manipulation of objects are simply not borne out by the functional capacities evaluation. When we talk about the material handling aspect of the functional capacity evaluation, we're talking about moving objects of weight. And in the worst performance area there, he was able to move 15 pounds. In some aspects, he was able to move up to 50 pounds. And so in that regard, the functional capacity evaluation, again, fully supports the ALJ's RFC finding in this case. Now, look, appellant also criticizes the ALJ's decision not to give significant weight to Dr. Bush's opinion. And the ALJ explained why he assigned it that weight. He noted that Dr. Bush issued that opinion before he had even done an examination of Mr. Ziegler. When asked to identify the clinical findings, what he had found to support his opinion, he said, see the functional capacity evaluation. He didn't provide any rationale for some of his conclusions that aren't covered by the functional capacity evaluation. He didn't provide any rationale for his opinion that Mr. Ziegler would miss 4 days of work per month. He didn't provide any rationale to support his opinion that Mr. Ziegler would need unscheduled breaks throughout the course of the workday. He didn't provide any basis for his opinion that Mr. Ziegler would have problems and limitations with regard to grasping. And as I just noted, the functional capacity evaluation specifically said that he didn't have a problem with grasping. In fact, he had an above-average ability to grasp. And so there are inconsistencies between Dr. Bush's opinion and the very functional capacity evaluation he claims to rely on. And for that reason and the other reasons cited by the ALJ, it was reasonable for him to decline to give Dr. Bush's opinion significant weight. With regard to Dr. Bohan, who was at the time of issuing his opinion only a reviewing psychiatrist for all intents and purposes, he relied largely on Mr. Ziegler's self-reports of his limitations. And this court has stated that that is not adequate to establish the presence of limitations establishing disability. Dr. Bohan prescribed Paxil after that first visit. And what was the effect of that prescription? It worked. It wasn't 100% effective, but it worked. He came back, and contrary to what the appellant just argued, he came back and Dr. Bohan noted that he was stable, that he was not having temper outbursts, that he was not having breakthrough panic attacks. Yes, he was still having some problems, but the ALJ accounted for those problems in his RFC finding. The ALJ reasonably assessed Dr. Bohan's opinion, and he reasonably evaluated the mental limitations in this case. And with regard to the credibility assessment, ALJ's credibility assessment should not be disturbed unless it is patently wrong. So has said this court on many occasions. The ALJ had ample reason for finding Mr. Ziegler less than fully credible. In August of 2005, Mr. Ziegler, who was supposedly restricted to a recliner for much of the day, re-injured himself moving a piece of furniture, which is clearly inconsistent with the opinion that Dr. Bush had just given that he could do very little. He claimed that he needed a walker to get around, but his own doctor said that he had good mobility, and he admitted that he went fishing and hunting and enjoyed going for walks with his family. Mr. Ziegler said that he had sleep apnea, but testing showed no sleep apnea. Mr. Ziegler reported cardiac symptoms, but testing showed that he had no cardiac impairment. On multiple occasions, Mr. Ziegler chose to end physical therapy, but then, when he was told to go back to work, another injury arose. And it was not unreasonable for the ALJ to take note of that pattern of behavior, particularly in light of Mr. Ziegler's keen interest and knowledge of the ins and outs of workman's compensation and disability programs. All in all, the ALJ built a bridge, and that bridge is sound, and it was clearly identified by the ALJ, and this court should not disturb the ALJ's decision.
Thank you, Mr. Christo. Ms. Freeman, anything further?
Yes, Your Honor. The commissioner talks about a logical bridge, but the ALJ's decision did not address aspects of the credited FCE. It just wasn't addressed. The ALJ credits only the cover letter.
What has Mr. Christoff said that you disagree with?
Well, the fact that the ALJ has explained how he reached his conclusions. The ALJ credited the FCE, but only cited the cover letter. Now, the cover letter is not the summary of the FCE results. That is on page 270. It's a lengthy report, and the summary sheet's on page 270. It's only the cover letter talking about the lifting restrictions on page 268. So we disagree that he has explained how he's addressed the negative portions of the FCE report. If you look at page 270, on the face of that summary report, it's clear that he cannot...
What about Mr. Christoff's comments about Ziegler's credibility?
Yes, Your Honor, we disagree with that. The commissioner has implied, and the ALJ has implied, that he's a malingerer. Now, there were work-related injuries. He did go to physical therapy, and before his disability onset date, he said he was fine and he'd like to go back to work, and he did. And he hurt himself again and then was back in physical therapy. So it's not an issue of, oh, an injury arose, and now I can't go back to work.
What about moving furniture and so on?
He does have some activities in the record. I mean,
he goes hunting?
He took his son hunting and sat there while his son hunted.
Panic attacks and he goes hunting? And
well, panic attacks in a work environment are different.
What is he hunting?
I'm sorry?
What does he hunt?
I believe the record said he took his son deer hunting.
That means he sits someplace and waits for a deer to come to him.
Yes, and he said his son did the hunting. He just escorted the son. So it's not...
That's a deer, shoot it. That's what he did.
I'm sorry?
Pointing out the deer and say, there's one, shoot it.
Essentially,
he doesn't shoot himself.
The record did not indicate that he engaged in the hunting activities, as my recollection is. He stated that he went hunting and then explained that he goes with his son and sits there. He does have some activities. I believe he was moving an item of furniture, but the record also shows that he's an individual who tries to do things. He tried to go back to work and got hurt. He says he's able to lift 15 pounds. The problem is the standing and the walking and the sitting that's a problem for him, which comes out in the FCE. That's why the FCE was interpreted erroneously.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Freeman, and thank you, Mr. Christoff. Next case for our